I thought I'd loiter at the back until you called me that time. How are we doing? Does anyone like chocolate? Would anyone like to win some chocolate? A box of celebrations to give away to a winning team. Because I'm going to do a bit of a story, a bit of a challenge this morning. So you need to be in a bit of a group. It could be two or three. It could be four, five, six. You could do it as a whole row if you want. But what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share the same story we've had all morning, the Nativity. But in it, I'm going to mention chocolates and sweets from past and present. And as a group, you need to figure out how many sweets and chocolates I mention. The team that win, that gets the closest or spot on, wins some celebrations. I would say it's useful to have some younger ones because they love chocolate. And it's useful to have some older people because they will know some chocolates of Christmas past. So I'll make it a bit obvious to start as I read. At Christmas time, one story you'll hear many times is that of the Nativity. We've had it several times today. As you know, it's a classic tale. There you go. You've got one so far. Oh, Matt's even got a notepad out. He's ready. It all began with a girl called Mary who heard a whisper from an angel, perhaps with a halo. It's an old chocolate bar. Yeah, it is. She should be three so far. Who told her she would give birth to God's son. But how could this be? She was not yet married to Joseph. To have a baby now could be a real topic of conversation in the village. But in a heavenly echo, Joseph also heard of God's plan and decided he had to go along with it. They're going to be less obvious now. You ready? But before the baby arrived, political events overtook. Joseph had to return to Bethlehem for a census. It was miles away. It was a marathon of a journey. But Joseph thought the breakaway would do Mary good. They had to travel on a donkey, simply because in those days you couldn't get an aeroplane, a double-decker, or even a taxi. So when they arrived, Joseph tried to find lodgings, but they didn't have a dime. And club after club after club turned them away. That's three. No room, they all said. Eventually, they were offered a small outhouse. It was there the baby was born. He was named Jesus, which means Savior or God saves. That night, some shepherds and a few drifters heard tunes in the sky. Angels sang glory to God in the highest and heralded good news. And some minstrels with a banjo joined in. There's a bit of artistic license in the story. The shepherds decided to take a break from watching sheep, perhaps with a Kit Kat. And later said to one another, why don't we have some time out and go and see what's happening in Bethlehem? When they got there, they found the trio, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, lying in a manger of all places. Certainly no bed of roses, but they were united in wonder. They reveled in the thought this child was special. People are like, oh, that was a trick one. It was in the middle of a word. Could this be just as the prophets had foretold? Was he the Lion of Judah? But it was getting late. It was after eight, in fact. So the shepherds returned to the hills with delight in their hearts, singing praise to God as they went. Meanwhile, in a faraway country, some wise men, many people called them smarties, were busily scanning the galaxy and observing the planets when they saw a new light in the Milky Way. Could it be Mars? No, it was a special star, bar. It's an American one. I didn't know if you'd get it. Signaling the birth of a king. The clock went tick-tack. I didn't write this, by the way. I'd love to take credit. They realized they didn't get moving. They'd soon be out of time. They knew they were meant to follow the star. So they packed a picnic, did up their buttons, and they climbed on their caramels. This happened as the snow began falling. Probably not. Falling in swirls and large flakes settled on the ground. The ground became so crunchy, children could even make snowballs. But they were good trackers, and a few days later, just before twilight, they arrived at their destination. However, they began to think that their sat-nav had let them down. It didn't lead them to a quality street at all. Hey! They went to Herod's palace, not afraid to hobnob with royalty. They decided to see if Herod knew about the royal birth. Herod was very interested. A king has been born, he mused. But deep down, he could hardly conceal his snickers. He didn't really believe the wise men. He thought them all teasers. But just to make sure, he reckoned he'd better scotch this rumour before it began to ripple throughout Jerusalem. He decided to fudge the issue by saying he wanted to go worship this baby as well. He told the wise men, report on your way back. The wise men set off, eventually finding young Jesus. They offered him their bounty, gold. But it wasn't all gold. There was some frankincense and some myrrh. I know. Jill got that one. Then God warned them in a dream that Herod was up to his twix again and that he really wanted to kill the child. So they took flight and headed home over the hills by a rocky route. Now, that's just a few highlights from the familiar story told at Christmas. Some old-fashioned humbugs don't believe it. But according to the Bible, Jesus was born so all sorts of people might come know God's love for them. Like the shepherds and the wise men, many people look for meaning and purpose. Some kind of boost in life, a refresher in difficult times. But Jesus of the Nativity is no miniature hero. And if he is who he said he was, and not just some maverick looking for some sport, then the Christmas story really is a cause for celebrations. Yeah. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is turn to a group next to you, and I'd like you to tell them the number you got to, because I'm not going to have any cheating in this. Because when I reveal the answer, I don't want you to go, oh yes, I got that one, Bob. Okay, so have you all done that? So, everyone put your hands in the air. You've not counted yet? Oh, hold on, we're just waiting for Janet. Do you need a mathematician? Any mathematicians in the room, Jill? No. Okay, so hands up. Leave your hands up if you've got more than 10, more than 20, more than 30, more than 40, more than 45, more than 50. 55? 60? 61? Did you get 62? 63? 64? 65? 66? 67? 68? 60? Did anyone get 67? Hands up if you said 67. You have won the prize. Let's give him a round of applause. Do you want to come and collect your gift? You've won this box of celebrations. There you are. Yeah. Now the one thing, how heavy is that box? Have a look. How disappointing is it when you get a gift and there's nothing in it? I did tell you you'd win the box. I've got the celebrations here. No, I wouldn't be. So whilst I do the rest of the talk, grab one, pass them on. There you are. You don't like them. So do take one, pass them on. Because receiving a gift and it being nothing, you're like, that is so disappointing. Does anyone like Christmas? Does anyone not? It has its moments sometimes. Don't worry, make sure you pick up more than one sweet, you're all right. But why is Christmas such a cause for celebration? It says in that last paragraph, that last part of the story, Jesus is no miniature hero. But he is, if he is who he said he was, not just a maverick looking for sport, then the Christmas story really is a cause for celebration. So I'm going to look at some things to celebrate at Christmas. The first one for me is food. Now, I will publicly state Brussels sprouts, or sprouts as I think we now call them, who knows? They are not just for Christmas. One of the joys for me is that Aldi now do frozen sprouts in their freezer section. Praise the Lord for sprouts in summer. Anyone like the food at Christmas? Is that a highlight? Now, I don't like mince pies. Yeah, I know. But I know plenty of people that do like mince pies. Now, some of you might love Christmas because you get some time off. Anyone like time off at Christmas? Yeah. Now, I don't know why. I was thinking of a picture and I thought a resting cat is quite a good one to do. But you know what? These reasons are great because Jesus is food. One of the things he says is he is the bread of life. It doesn't mean at Christmas we go, oh, nom, 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 Jesus. None of that. But he says that he is here to nourish us, to give us some incredible life. But he also says, time off. Jesus came to be the giver of peace. Who likes the sales? Yeah, the sales at Christmas. Now, did you know Jesus is the greatest sale? We get two for the price of one. We get God and human in one baby. Hey, do you see what I did there? Yeah, buy one, get one free. That's what I meant. The bog-off offer. Buy one, get one free. Jesus was God with us. Time with family. Only Victoria likes that. Anyone play Monopoly at Christmas? Now, I saw this copy on Google and I thought, it's Monopoly, the longest game ever. And it is true. But spending time with family, some people, really, Christmas is a time that brings us together. And the greatest time that we have is God coming to be with us at Christmas. And then finally, gifts. Anyone like receiving gifts? Wow, again, about four of you. That's lovely. Now, for me, I love giving gifts more than I love receiving them. To see the joy on people's faces. Now, for Christmas, I can just imagine the joy as God looked down to give us a gift in Jesus. As he smiled and he's like, look, they're going to open the present. He's there. And just the look on his face, his delight at giving us a gift. Now, I've got three reasons I love Jesus. I've got a lot more, but only three for today. The first one is this. Jesus is the reason for this season. And the big reason is you. Jesus came, that bog-off offer, God in human form, to be with us. Because we are incredible. We are an amazing specimen of humankind. What I'd like you to do is turn to the person next to you and say, you're great. And then find someone else near you and tell them they're great. But now, Jesus didn't come just for the person sat next to you or for your family. He came for all of us. So what I'd like you to do is to lock eyes with someone else in the room. They could be over the other end. And I'd like you to tell them they are great too. You're great. And so Jesus came for many reasons. The first one is you, that he thinks you are incredible, that he loves you, he cares for you, and God came to be with us because he loved us so much. Now the second reason I think Jesus came was to bring life in all its fullness. Now we have a God who knows what it's like to be human. He knows that life is sometimes tough. Anyone ever have a tough Christmas or a tough day? A few more of you this time. That's good. But it says that God knows what that's like. Because Jesus went through some tough situations. That Christmas carol, "No Crying He Makes." Who believes Jesus didn't cry as a baby? I'm sure when I get to heaven, Mary and Joseph will tell me what it was like. But Jesus knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be human, to go through the ups and the downs. But it says that by his Holy Spirit, he came to bring abundance. Now, I like to do illusions. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's debatable. I said I like to do them. I didn't say I was any good at them. Because I think Christmas is an incredible time of giving and receiving. And we realize how blessed we are and how many things that we have. Now, I've got 6 cards here. Nice and simple trick. These 6 cards, some of you might think this Christmas, I've been dealt a hand that I've got to play. And I might run out a bit of steam. Because as I make the dinner, as I make drinks, as family come over and we start to play Monopoly, we start to go, I seem to be running out a bit of steam. Life is not an incredible thing that I thought it was. But then we start to give away presents and we start to have mother-in-laws and father-in-laws come over. And we start to go, hold on. Jesus said that he came to bring life and life in all its fullness. And the reason he came was to go, you know what, when you think that your hand is gone, there is still so much more that you can start to do. And all in all, you've still got the hand that you were dealt. No one likes a trick so far. That's all right, then. Because we can start to give away love and joy and peace. We can start to be a bit more patient with people and we start to go, right, I'm going to give you some kindness, gentleness, self-control. And yet we still have all the things that we're meant to have in our hand. We still have the gift that God has given us because he loves us and he cares for us. That Jesus came because you are incredible. Your family are incredible. Your friends are incredible. And everyone in this world is so amazing. That when God comes to give you joy and peace and kindness, he doesn't run out of it. But he's like, Molly, I'm going to give you some joy. But June, you can also have the same amount. And Dave, you need a bit more. No, I'm only joking. We all need joy, don't we? But we still have all the things that God intends for us. He never runs out. His supply never drops because he knows what it's like. He knows all the things that we need and he loves us with a passion beyond all measure. But Jesus came with a purpose. And my final thing. Hey, don't laugh. Now, I believe Jesus came with a purpose. It wasn't to simply go, you're amazing and you're loved. It wasn't simply to go, here's some joy and some peace. But the reason I believe Jesus came was to bring forgiveness. Because God is such a perfect God. It says that he can't be next to something that isn't perfect. A time where we might have told a little lie or we might have done something a bit mean to others. And we might not have intended it. But all of us fall short of what God longs for us. But he says that I'm perfect and those things that separate us. The reason I came at Christmas in human form was to go, I want to love you, care for you, provide for you, but I also want to forgive you. And so there was almost this veil between us and God. But as Jesus came to be the light. He's a much better light than I've got. I can sometimes flicker. But Jesus came to be a light to the world, the light of the world. That we were living in darkness and really struggling. But God wanted to remove this veil. So it would be completely gone forever. I always do this twice. You'll be pleased to know, because some of you will have missed it. It's disappeared completely. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the light of the world, that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so that veil that was between us and God, perfect God and imperfect us, was to be taken away because of what Jesus did, that he came in human form. You've seen it before, Matt. So God became like us, to be with us, to walk with us through every moment of life, good and bad. So this Christmas, I wonder if you might want to spend some more time thinking about that. It might be that you already do, but it might be that you've never thought, why did Jesus come? And today it's helped to answer some of those questions. He came because he loves you, that he thinks you are incredible. He wants to be in relationship with you and forgive us. And the reason he can do that is because Jesus came in human form. That he died on a cross, but that he came back to life. So God became like us. Might we spend more time getting to know him this Christmas? To say thank you, to say sorry, and to ask him to be with us. After all, Christmas is Christ's birthday. It's the reason we're celebrating. It is the reason for the season. And so I've brought some books. They're called God Became Like Me. And it's just the how and why of Christmas. If you'd like a copy, there's a whole box of them just over there. Please do take one. They're aimed at children, but I love it. It's rhyming couplets and it's got some mindful colour in it. Yeah. But God became like me. He knew my flaws, he knew my weaknesses, he knows your flaws and weaknesses, but he loves you irrespective. He thinks you are incredible. So this Christmas, you are special, you are unique, and Jesus is the reason. So let me just pray for us and then we're going to sing a song together. So Jesus, thank you that Christmas is all about you. That we celebrate, we eat, we have fun, we give gifts. Because in that first Christmas, you came to be with us. God in human form here on earth. So we thank you that you walked the same journey we do, with its ups and downs and its struggles. People not liking you for who you were sometimes and rejecting you. But Lord, we thank you that you went through it all, living a perfect life so that we can be set free from the things that we do wrong. So Lord Jesus, would you forgive us? Forgive us for all that we've done in the past and thought and said that is not good. And set us free to have that life and life in all its fullness. So help us to recognize you this Christmas in all that we say and do through our family and our friends. We thank you. Amen. So we're going to sing my favorite carol, Joy to the World. Yay. The Lord has come. That's why we celebrate.